Okay, so Philippians chapter 1, verses 3 to 11, and that's on page 1178 of the Church Bibles. I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. It is right for me to feel this way about all of you, since I have in my heart, and whether I'm in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you sharing God's grace with me. God can testify how I long for all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus. And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God. This is the word of the Lord.
And we're going to continue to read from Philippians 1, but this is from verse 21 through to the end. So again, it's on page 1178 of the Pew Bible, and it's Philippians 1, 21 to 30. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. If I am to go on living in the body, this will mean fruitful labour for me. Yet what shall I choose? I do not know. I am torn between the two. I desire to depart and be with Christ, which is better by far, but it is more necessary for you that I remain in the body. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain, and I will continue with all of you for your progress and joy in the faith, so that through my being with you again, your boasting in Christ Jesus will abound on account of me. Whatever happens, conduct yourself in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Then, whether I come and see you or only hear about you in my absence, I will know that you stand firm in the one spirit, striving together as one for the faith of the gospel, without being frightened in any way by those who oppose you. This is a sign to them that they will be destroyed, but that you will be saved, and that by God. For it has been granted to you on behalf of Christ not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for him, since you are going through the same struggle you saw I had, and now hear that I still have. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
And you might want to keep Philippians 1 open in front of you. We'll be focusing on some of those verses again through this sermon. On a Vision Sunday, I guess it's a bit of a different sermon, and that'll become apparent, I'm sure, as we go through. But let me pray for us as we reflect more on God's word together. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can gather together and seek to listen to your voice in this way, in confidence that you are at work renewing and changing us, transforming us through the renewal of our minds, as we've just been singing, and that you will carry on to completion the good work that you have started in us. So, Heavenly Father, we pray in that confidence as we look to the year ahead, with all that is unknown of the year ahead, with all that we are to trust you with as we seek to live by faith and not by sight. So please, Heavenly Father, by your Spirit, be at work within our hearts and minds, drawing us more and more to yourself. For we pray it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Well, in Paul's second letter to Timothy, he has a little phrase. He says, preach the word in season and out of season. Be prepared in season and out of season. And as I was reflecting on what to base the sermon on for this Vision Sunday, I thought, well, thinking back to last year, and it's great to enjoy the video, isn't it? And remember all those highlights, and you look at some of the things particularly that Joe was doing, and you wonder what on earth was going on there, but no surprises there. But it's wonderful to look back with thanks in that way, isn't it? And I was reflecting, particular sort of highlight for me last year was sort of last term when we were sort of working through Paul's letter to the Philippians, sort of September to November time. We were sharing in it on Sunday mornings, weren't we? And in our home groups as well, thinking about different aspects of partnership in the gospel from Paul's letter. And it very much felt like a sort of time in season together as a church family that Paul refers to there in that phrase, in season and out of season. Since then, just with everything that has gone on in the Church of England, sort of with the changes through the November General Synod, and then the decision to sort of make live what are called the prayers of love and faith, which allow for the blessing of sort of relationships, not just same-sex relationships, but any relationship outside what we would constitute as sort of marriage by God's definition, that is heterosexual, one man and one woman commitment to one another for life, making provision for prayers for the blessing of those relationships, sort of went live on 17th of December. I mean, there's timing for you, isn't there? I think slightly to try and hide it away in the Christmas rush and all that kind of thing. A little bit more about that later. That sort of has cast a shadow, I think, for many of us, it's fair to say. The Church Council have met already sort of for a more informal discussion a couple of weeks ago to reflect on that a bit. And I'm really grateful for their support and all their thoughts. It is something we all need to be, I think, aware of as a church family, because it will have ramifications as we head through this year and beyond. And we just don't know at this stage exactly what they're going to be. I thought it'd be nice to go back to that time to be the basis, because I don't want those things to completely cast a shadow over church family life for us at all as we look forward to 2024, which it's kind of easy to do. At the end of a long, pretty miserable January, I mean, it's easy to do that kind of thing, isn't it? So I wanted to come back to some of these precious truths that we enjoyed. And right at the heart of them there, in verse 21, is Paul saying, "For to me to live is Christ. For to me to live is Christ." And that lies right at the heart of our life together as a church family. We ought to say, we together as a church family, for us to live is Christ, as much as it is for each individual within our church family to know that for themselves. And I hope you can say that. If you can't say that for yourself, you know, please do think about these things. Do think at why that is not true for you. Because that is what it is to be a Christian, isn't it? To live is Christ. That's kind of literally what being a Christian means. That the whole of our life now, our life forever, is wrapped up in the Lord Jesus Christ. As Paul says later in Philippians chapter 3, he says, "I want to know Christ." Yeah, that's the great apostle Paul, isn't it? And for him to live as Christ means for him to know Christ better and better and better. I pray that has been your experience over 2023 as we look through all those wonderful highlights. And as we look ahead to 2024, my prayer so much is that the biggest thing will be that we will know Christ more and more, that we will grow in Christ. We'll have that real experience, not just knowing about Jesus. You know, on Sunday mornings, as we open up God's Word together, not just we find out a few interesting truths. You know, we study the book of Ruth and see, oh, look, isn't life quaint back then? And this whole guardian redeemer kind of thing. And that's kind of fun to think about. But know that we see Jesus, our Redeemer, more clearly in these things. It's vital for us as a church family that we have it in our church vision, as Dan and Shell reminded us of, loving God. That's part of living Christ, isn't it? Learning to love God better with one another, sharing Christ with each other as well, keeping that central to church life, keeping the simple message of the Christian faith right at the heart of everything that we do, that we don't overcomplicate it. So we need to keep reminding one another of these things, don't we? We need to keep reminding each other of these wonderful truths through all the ups and downs. And as I reflected, you know, that September to November was such a wonderful time. You know, that was just after we'd waved goodbye, wasn't it? To the Houghtons and the Eubanks and the Holdens and the Olives and Abbey and Molly, sort of up the road to St. Christopher's. It could have been a time when we were sort of just feeling a bit sort of bereft and that. And God was really kind to us and really drew us together. The new home groups you know, my great thanks to the home group leaders who have led them and the way that home groups are really committed to one another. It's never easy to shake up home groups, is it? We all find that uncomfortable and getting to know different people and to trust people. But it's been lovely to see that. That's all part of living Christ together, reminding one another of what is most important. Because we have that concern that Paul speaks of here for one another's progress and joy in the faith. That's what Paul said in verse 25. I will continue with all of you. God's going to leave me here longer on earth for your progress and joy in the faith. This is supreme in Paul's attitude to them, isn't it? It'd be wonderful for us to have that concern for one another, that your concern is for my progress and joy in the faith. For those sitting around you in the pews, those that you chat to over coffee, those that you hang out with at the women's getaway or on the church weekend or whatever it might be, that we're looking to see how we can help each other to make progress. Not just think, yeah, they're a Christian, they're okay, you know, and they seem quite, you know, fine in their Christian life and all. Because we know that's not true for ourselves, is it? I hope none of us are happy with where we're at in the Christian life. You know, when we die and go to glory, then we can be happy with where we're at in the Christian life. But until that moment, there's progress to be made, isn't there? We want to be moving forwards. There's more of our sin to be turned from. There's more grace to be received into our hearts and into our minds. There's more of the Lord Jesus to know. There's more of him to live out. There's more people around us to share the Lord Jesus with. It goes on and on and on, doesn't it? Loving, in that sense, is an unfinishable task. And we want to be having that concern very much for one another, to be sharing Christ, as Paul said earlier in the letter, to have the affection of Christ Jesus for one another, to know Christ's love for us so deeply that he flows through us. And we have that affection for one another. And it's lovely to see that in us as a church family. To see the affection of Christ Jesus flowing in, you know, just the little messages that go out on the church family WhatsApp or something like that, the way people gather around those who are in need or in particular times of crisis and the rest. And to see that loving concern for one another. Sometimes progress and joy in the faith is just caring for people in that way, isn't it? Not allowing trials and testing to set people back, but to uphold people. In those moments, helps them to make progress and joy in the faith, because we all know, don't we, if we've been a Christian 5 minutes, that the time that God often grows us most is when life is hardest. When life is going well, then I think we're less aware of God at work for and in us, aren't we? Maybe looking back, we give thanks and we recognize the blessings and those kind of things. But it's when we need the Lord to be my shepherd, whether it is in the valley of the shadow of death or whether it's just on the tough paths of life, to know his rod and his staff comforting us, protecting us, to know his goodness and mercy never leaving us, as someone said, as his two sheepdogs helping us through life the whole time. And that's where joy is to be found, isn't it? Joy is not supremely to be found in life going smoothly. That is a temporary, fragile joy that we maybe cling on to too hard. Joy is to be found in the Lord Jesus in the midst of whatever circumstances we are walking through. And maybe some of that most precious joy comes when life is hardest. And we get to share in that with one another. And again, that's so tangible from the highlights on the video, isn't it? You know, just from this weekend, you know, the men being here Friday night to clean and having fun together yesterday, you know, thanks so much to those who came along to share in the cleaning. And you know, even in the midst of working hard like that, the joy that's to be had, you know, over our bring and share lunches as they go on every half term, you know, the women's getaway, the men's getaway, seeing our young people, whether it's XDB charging about or the Avenue changing hats, you know, whatever, you know, it's so much joy to be had with one another in church life, isn't there? And we want to keep focusing on that, to keep focusing on one another, because with all that goes wrong around outside our church family, our supreme concern is for one another. And that's something I'm very convicted by in everything that we're walking through in the Church of England at the moment, is the Lord Jesus, on the day of judgment, will ask me what I did with the sheep that he entrusted to me. That's you guys. I'm accountable for your progress and joy in the faith. In a way, I guess that we all have a mutual accountability, but I am held to a higher standard. That's what the New Testament says. And that is my concern looking forward. You know, and that's why I love to hear from you, because it's much easier to look after people when there's good communication, those kind of things. My concern is not sheep in other churches, you know, All Saints or St. Paul's, Ansel and Fairhaven. My concern is not the whole Diocese of Blackburn, certainly not the whole Church of England. Jesus will not ask me how I sort of led those particular of his sheep. He will ask me about you guys. And that is something that I need to uphold and be responsible for. So please do pray for me in that, with others within our church family, with Dave and Craig as wardens, with Standing Committee, our church council, and all those who make decisions. Because on one level, that is who we are as a church family. God's brought us together as a particular body of Christ here at St. Andrew's. And you're a part of that, and I'm a part of that. And we're interdependent. You know, we're one body, aren't we? Many different parts, different gifts, working together with one head, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we make progress in the faith. We have joy in the faith as we work together as that body and care for one another as that body. What's that going to look like? Well, standing firm in the one Spirit, standing firm in the one Spirit, as we get to verse 27 and these two crucial phrases. Standing firm in his Spirit, isn't it? In the Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit. Later in the letter in chapter 4, Paul says, stand firm in this way. There he's been speaking about looking forward to our heavenly citizenship, to the future, to when these things will be fulfilled. And we're no longer reliant on the down payment of the Spirit, but will know Christ in full, face to face, in the new creation. It also goes on to speak of being of the same mind, that mindset of the Lord Jesus Christ, thinking his thoughts together, standing firm. You know, all sorts of applications to that kind of principle, aren't there, amongst us as a church family? You know, positively, we want to look forward, and God willing, Phil Vautier will be joining us as our curate in the summer, starting towards the end of June. Phil and Innes and their four children now will be coming to live here in Ashton, won't they? And we want to incorporate them, to stand firm with them in the one Spirit. You know, and I'm looking forward to that time. You know, I have felt the difference of not, you know, I reflected this Christmas just gone was the first Christmas I've kind of done on my own, as it were, in terms of the talks and things, in 7 years. You know, because we had Joe and Johnny and stretching back. And I think I'm feeling that sort of not having that kind of right-hand man in ministry. And it'd be great to welcome Phil into that kind of role. I know he's a new curate, but he's quite experienced. So hopefully, as with others in the past, he can hit the ground running in lots of ways. We need to pray for them, for God's provision for them, for a house and children's school places and all those kind of things, that we might stand firm with them, we might draw them in. Standing firm in those ways of continuing to care for one another. And I'm very, very conscious that we're in a bit of a season of having a number of needs across our church family. Don't want to go through naming them all, because that's really dangerous and easy to forget someone. But I'm sure, as I say that, certainly individuals will be coming to your mind. And that's the thing, isn't it, that God lays on our hearts different ways in which we can help out. We can't all do everything. That's not what it is to be a body, is it? There's not one person who's the hand who has to do all the handiwork. No, he gives us all different gifts, and we can pull together as a body, and it's wonderful to see that. Obviously, at the heart of that, you know, please do keep speaking, particularly to Liz as our pastoral coordinator for the church family, and me and Shell as administrator, you know, about needs, just so that we're aware, certainly so we can be praying. You know, thank you to all those who do send in prayer requests. Shell sends out an email to a sort of dozen folk from our church family each week. And if you send prayer requests in, we will pray for you on at staff meeting that week. And we'll pray for you anyway. But it's just lovely to know our prayers are sort of somewhat in line with what's going on in your life, rather than us just sort of trying to make them up as we go along. They'll be in line with God's word, certainly. But please do make the most of that opportunity. But please just do, you know, Liz is always there to be contacted. If you know of someone in particular need or anything like that, please do let us know. Please, you know, have a willingness to help as well, to be involved in those ways, in small ways, in bigger ways. Please, it's tempting to all of us, isn't it, to leave it to someone else. But who knows what blessings there are to be had in us trying something, doing something for the first time in those ways. Well, obviously, home groups are a great network of support for that. And please do make the most of those. And please do be speaking to your leaders in home groups. And if you want to join a home group and are not one of them at the moment, then part one at the moment, please do speak to me or to Liz there Tuesday evening, Thursday evening, or the women's group on Thursday mornings as well. I want to keep praying for our children and young people as well. There's so much good. We are disproportionately blessed as a church family with the numbers, you know, sort of, yeah, people can never quite believe how many children we have, whether they come and visit and experience it or they see the statistics on paper. And that's a wonderful privilege, isn't it? It's a wonderful responsibility to be caring, discipling our children and young people for the future. It is costly as well, in all sorts of ways, not least in manpower. And so we are hugely grateful to all those who lead and help lead all the different groups. Again, maybe that's an area where some can be involved. Maybe at times, because we have had and continue to have so many gifted leaders, you think, I could never do that. I think that's probably not true. People probably aren't as great as you think they are, for starters. You know, they are good, but they're maybe not as wonderful as you think they are. But I expect you are more capable of being involved in different ways as well. And we just sort of love to be able to share the responsibility because, you know, we only have a Sunday morning service, don't we? And so those who are regularly teaching junior church are very rarely able to sit in here and be a part of listening to God's word together. Yes, they can catch up you know, with the sermon online. And yes, the sermon isn't the be-all and end-all of a service. You know, the beginning time when we're together and singing and confessing together and those things is just as important in some ways. But to be able to share that responsibility. And so maybe you'll be able to be involved. I think one particular group that maybe more people could be involved in is with the Scramblers, where some of it is childcare, really, looking after the children of others. I'm aware that the Scramblers team maybe have been a little bit more stretched this term and last term. And so maybe you could just help out once every 6 weeks, once a half term, something like that, maybe more frequently, you know, and just share that burden to allow others a little bit of a break, a little bit of time to be sitting and engaging with God in here together as well. You won't be thrust into leading anything sort of upfront and those kind of things, but just to share that burden might be a way that we can really love one another and help each other to keep making that progress in the faith, to have joy in the faith together, to be standing firm in the one spirit. If you want more information about those kind of things, do speak to Shell. Obviously, Shell puts the rota together each term, as most people will know, or speak to me or Becca as well. I'm sure we'd love to hear from you. And so sort of the final thing to pick up from these verses, again in verse 27, striving together as one for the faith of the gospel. All the way through the book of Philippians, that there is the background of opposition, isn't there? The opposition for them, I'm sure, was very, very different. I mean, all sorts of ways for the opposition for us. But as one body, Paul envisages that churches will generally exist under pressure from outside, one way or another. That the faith of the gospel from age to age is generally under attack in some way or other the whole time. And that's true in our day as much as any other, isn't it? And we are called as God's people to defend the truth in that area where it is under attack. That is where we are to defend the faith at most, isn't it? And I'm sure we're aware in our culture today, there are a number of ways that truths that have been culturally held for a long, long time have now just been jettisoned. Many of them to do with what it means to be human, what it means to be made in the image of God, to reflect who he is in the way he created us in the beginning. In the image of God, he created them, male and female, man and woman, he created them. It speaks deeply into our identity, doesn't it? Which is why there's just so much confusion in our world today when it comes to our identity as human beings. Because we've lost sight of the identity of God. Now, that's a great reason, isn't it, in our home groups to be focusing on these wonderful characteristics of who God is, what he's like. We might experience him and therefore have our identity shaped by his identity. It particularly affects areas of sexuality and gender and marriage. I'd commend to you, if you want to just listen to a few little videos from a bishop who knows what he's talking about, our friend David McClay, bishop over of Down and Dromore in Northern Ireland, just in the run-up to Lent for his diocese, is releasing a number of little videos addressing all sorts of cultural hot potato topics. One of them is same-sex marriage, assisted suicide, abortion, I think gender issues. Yeah, I can't remember everything that he's covering. I mean, he's really tackling some big, big truths, but just seeking to open up what God's word says in those areas. I've listened to a few of them. They're fantastic. They're only about 8-10 minutes long, I think. I'd really commend them. If you want the link for that, I can happily share that with you. But, you know, for us, as a Church of England church in the culture we are in, we can't get away from the challenge that has been presented, that since December the 17th, something has changed in the Church of England, as was said in one of the PCC discussions. You know, like someone could walk into one of our services and there could be a baptism going on as part of that service, a wonderful visual aid to the grace of God. So you could walk into another Church of England church somewhere in the country, and during that service, that's where they have to happen at the moment, as part of another service, two men, two women, two people who aren't married could get out the front and could have prayers of blessing said over them in that relationship. Yes, the words are heavily nuanced and you can argue all sorts of things, but that's the reality of what could go on. You as a visitor, that is what you could be drawn into and involved. And that is the blessing of sin. God's word clearly states any kind of sort of active sexual relationship outside of heterosexual marriage is sin. It's sexual immorality. And that is not to be blessed. And yet churches are free now in this way to bless that. And that does change everything at one level for us. And we want to be aware of that. We may have questions about that. Please do come and speak to me. I can't do a huge explanation of all the details around that. But that is, as it were, the headline. That is why, actually, in the light of the decision really being made in February, the PCC have decided to cap our giving to the diocese. So we're happy to pay where we're getting money back, sort of to pay for me and my housing and you know, various other aspects like safeguarding and those sort of service kind of levels of receipts. But for any sort of ministry across the diocese where we're not sure where that money might be going, we're not sure what kind of ministry it might be going to support, we've decided that we're not going to pay that any longer. It works out, I think, at about 17% in the order of £10,000, I think, of the 70,000 that we've been asked to pay this year. Again, that was a unanimous PCC decision. I'm grateful for the encouragement, the support, the discussions that have gone on across our church council to do with that. And for those who have stopped giving to our church family, I guess there's a plea of something's changed, you might want to reconsider. Because it was really sad to my heart. I totally understand why people have done it, but that people can't trust giving to our church family doesn't seem a good place to be for us as a church family. And I want us to be able to trust one another and where that money's going. I know it wasn't how we were going to spend it, but it was where we were giving it and how it might end up being spent elsewhere. If you've no idea what I'm talking about, please don't worry too much, but do come and talk to me if you want clarification on those things. On the flip side, we want to be those who therefore prize marriage as God has defined it amongst us. To encourage those who are not yet married to be married where that's appropriate. It's wonderful. I just started the marriage course with a few folk to be able to strengthen marriages. And that's one way that we can help one another to make progress and joy in the faith. To encourage those who are married to live out the pattern of life that God has ordained in that area. And to encourage those who are not married to pursue holiness and godly living in the way that God has ordained for those who are single and to care well for them. In the knowledge that if we are those who can say to live is Christ, we are married to Him. And one day we will enjoy that beautiful, perfect fulfillment of that marriage. We far greater than anything that we enjoy in this life. We will know Him perfectly as our husband, as our Redeemer, as we've been thinking about in the book of Ruth. So we ought to be positive, don't we, to live out the goods of marriage amongst us, to be teaching our children and young people these things, because they're the ones who are often thrown into the furnace of where the battle rages in these kind of issues and topics, to pray for those who are teachers, particularly in secondary school. Being a governor or archbishop is a very different place to being a governor at St. Andrew's. The difference between secondary and primary is very marked and in our colleges as well. And to pray for the upholding of truth in those areas. And we ought to equip our children. We need to be praying that in XDB and the Avenue, because these issues come into our children, young people's lives earlier and earlier, don't they? That we would be equipping them to stand as disciples of the Lord Jesus in His truth and to know that His way is the best way. Not just the right way to tick a box and be a goody-goody two-shoes, but it is the path of wholeness and flourishing. Not necessarily easy, and in our culture today, far from easy, you might say. But it is the way that God has ordained for us. So for us as a church family, as we look forward in the area of the Church of England, we're not going to be rushing to any decisions in these kind of things. We want to be sensible and to consult with others, to see what other churches are doing. To think about what other groups, the Church of England Evangelical Council, might be able to offer to us. But please be aware that we will all feel this differently. God has given us consciences and they are good things. They're not the Holy Spirit. Our conscience isn't necessarily right, but God has given us our conscience that it might prompt us to reflect on where His truth lies. And we don't want seared consciences that are dead. We need to be careful of having too quick a conscience as well. We want consciences amongst us that are shaped by God's word and His truth. And we want to care for one another in that as well, don't we? Please care for me in that way, because as I said before, before the Lord Jesus, I do bear the greatest responsibility in this. And that is not always an easy burden to carry as well. And I speak also as the one who has most invested in a lot of these decisions as well, as part of the system of the Church of England. So again, please do pray for me and others in leadership in the church family in that. Striving together as one, that we might be a sign. That's where Paul finishes. That's where I want us to finish just briefly. We must not be deflected from the most important thing. And that is to be this wonderful gospel sign. A sign that the truth of the gospel is about salvation and destruction. That eternity is about heaven and hell. And we are to be a sign, aren't we, of heaven, of a glorious future, of life in Christ being that of flourishing and blessing, and where all good things are to be found. And so to proclaim him as such, to serve people in Ashton in that way, to bring Christ to them, to know him amongst them when we can, where we can, while we can, and to be that sign of salvation. Because the truth is, without the Lord Jesus Christ, people are perishing, aren't they? They are headed for judgments. That is what their life speaks of at this moment. Only as they come to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, whether through joining our church family or any other church family that knows Christ, then they are safe, aren't they? Safe in him. And we want him, therefore, to shape all of our concerns, all of our decisions, all of our fears, all of our wants, all of our challenges, all of our opportunities for the year ahead. We want him, walking with him, knowing him, living for him, and to be right at the center. To have him on our lips, him in our lives, to take him with us wherever we go, whoever we speak to. So again, we need to pray that we would not be distracted from that, because that is so easy to do. Well, let me pray for us. Paul wrote, "This is my prayer." And we make this our prayer, Heavenly Father, that our love may abound more and more in knowledge of you, in depth of insight into your word, so that we may be able to discern what is best, how we crave that, Heavenly Father. What is best in your sight, that we would be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, the day when he will return, that you might fill us with the fruit of righteousness that comes through him. And we pray it all to your glory and praise. In Jesus' precious name, amen.
Amen.